In this week's issue of the online magazine WyoFile, reporter Angus Thurmer interviewed activists from Wyoming's tribes at the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. I talked to him about what it was like to arrive at the camp in extremely harsh winter conditions.
I got there at night, and it was very cold, and it was just before a big storm rolled in. And I was greeted at the gate by a camp security who said, "Are you returning or a newcomer?" And I said, "Newcomer." And he said, "Go park. You can camp over there on the east side of the camp." And so I went there with my girlfriend who was helping me, and we spent an hour or so digging out a spot for a tent where we put our supplies, and then getting the pop-up camper ready for habitation. It was about an 80-acre camp that included dozens and dozens of teepees, some yurts with medical equipment, some mess halls, campers, trailers, lean-tos, and just a mass of 5,000 people all there to protect the water and protest the construction of the pipeline.
And what was the story that you felt like you were there to try and cover?
Well, I wanted to find some people from Wyoming who were joining the tribes in their resistance to the pipeline. And I was able to connect with Micah Lott, who's also goes by the name Big Wind. He was willing to do an interview, and with that off we went for some 700 miles of driving into this bitterly cold camp, and then began the search for Micah Lott, which took a couple of days, frankly. My cell phone went dead immediately. There was poor service. Micah's phone went dead also. The first day we spent simply surviving, literally holding the camper together. We were afraid it might be destroyed, so somebody always had to be at the camper in case something happened. And this took, just hanging on, took the whole first day and half of the second. We were determined to feed ourselves and take care of ourselves, which we did. And so it wasn't until the end of the second day that I was able to go out, and I walked through the whole camp and finally found an Arapaho elder in the Rosebud camp. He drew a picture of the Arapaho flag. And when I got up the next day, I was, the third day, I was able to find this flag flying above Micah, Big Wind's teepee. And I knocked on the door, and there he was.
And so then what happened? You guys ended up started to talk about, in fact, his sister, who has also been up there. Is that right? Can you tell me a little bit about what you learned about McKenna Lott?
He said, "My sister has a story to tell also." And so, and we went into a geodesic dome where we could sit down and converse, and I could take notes without having to wear gloves and stuff. And she told about how on Indigenous Peoples Day, she had been tying prayer bundles of tobacco onto some pipes that were going to be buried as part of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And she saw an older woman. By the way, McKenna Lott goes by the name Little Wind. And Big Wind is pretty big, and Little Wind is a little bit small. And she saw this older woman walking away from the pipes toward a line of police. And she told me that she remembered her duty to her elders, and so she joined arms with this woman, and the police parted, and they made their way to a prayer teepee where they began to pray. So Little Wind told me that she was praying there for about 45 minutes when the police moved in, told people they were under arrest, and she was had locked arms with people on both sides of her, and the police pulled them apart. A little wind was dragged out of the teepee and handcuffed and taken to jail. Actually, they were zip ties, and she was taken to the lockup at Mandan, North Dakota. She was released the next day. She spent the night in a crowded jail cell. Her bond was set at $250. She pleaded not guilty to engaging in a riot and another trespassing charge. And she has a trial date set for January.
And so having talked to the folks that were up there from Wind River, what did they say in terms of, you know, what comes next for this protest? I know that the Standing Rock Sioux councilman has kind of encouraged people to disperse. Did it seem like that was happening? And as far as the folks that you talked to, did they think that they were going to decide to leave?
Big Wind and Little Wind told me that they are in the fight against Dakota Access Pipeline to the end. They want to, as they say, kill the black snake, which is the pipeline. They believe that if it doesn't cross the Missouri at the location that's proposed today, the company will try to cross somewhere else. They're dedicated to fighting the pipeline wherever it goes. And they also hope to bring back to the Wind River Reservation some of the energy and techniques, I guess, that they might have learned at the camp that the water protectors, as they call themselves, have set up, and hope to influence events in a positive manner in the future for the people that live on the Wind River Reservation.